Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. Happy 4th of July. A little smaller group than we normally have at the first service. Usually it's filled front to back, but we've had this on, we have our Celebration of Freedom service, and last night there probably were 140 people there, and I expect probably the same this morning. You want to hear some great music?
Yeah.
I'm still singing Stairway to Heaven. What does Led Zeppelin have to do with worship? Well, come and find out. I remember early on when I was a pastor up on the Iron Range, I served what they call a two-point parish, two little township churches. One was Embarrass and the other was Pike Township. We've all heard of Embarrass. One winter they had a terrible storm, and only one person showed up for worship. And I asked the fellow if I should, you want to worship still? And he says, you know, he was a farmer. He says, if I bring a load of hay out and only one cow shows up, I feed him. So we went through the whole, young, wet behind the ears, green kid, leading worship, went through the whole thing, sang the hymns, all the lessons, all the prayers. And afterwards I said, so what do you think? He says, you know, if I bring that load out and only one shows up, I don't give him the whole load. So today, we will be a little bit less formal, okay? And we won't sing all the verses to the hymns, and we'll just move along and say our prayers and thank the Lord, and we'll have communion together. And I want you to know that everyone's invited to the table in our congregation here, so please join us at the table of our Lord if you feel so moved. I don't think there's any other announcements we need to make. We can be responsible for those. Let's open with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for gathering us on this beautiful Sunday morning, this holiday weekend, where we think about freedom. Help us to focus a few moments this morning on what freedom means for us in your world, in your kingdom. Help us to know what freedom really is in each side of our lives. Remind us that it's through your Son, following his teaching, that we can catch a glimpse of true freedom. So bless us in this time together. Be with us as we gather around your holy table. Allow us to praise you and to focus on you, for you are the King of the universe. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is 890. Let's sing the first and last verse of Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. The beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. The glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. The Lord is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the creator of wind and rain, field and ocean, the bread of life coming down from above, the power at work within us and this world.
Amen.
Before God and in the company of our sisters and brothers, let us confess our sin. Let's take a moment for silent confession. God and Father of all, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have thought better of ourselves than others. We have told lies, said hurtful things, acted in ways which we could take back, and looked the other way when action was needed. In your mercy, O God, forgive us, cleanse us, and heal us. For the sake of Jesus our Savior. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. In Christ, you are a new creation. Your sins are taken away, and you are made new. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. God of the covenant, in our baptism you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us the courage you gave the apostles, that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
First reading today comes from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 10. Christians do not boast of their own accomplishments. Rather, Christians' boasting focuses attention on how the power of Christ is present in our lives, especially in times of weakness and vulnerability. No matter what our circumstances in life, Christ's grace is sufficient for us. And Paul writes in verse 2, I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me. Even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan's to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you. For power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Today's psalm comes from Psalm 123, which we will read responsively, congregation reading the bold print, and when we come to the bold R, repeat the phrase in italics, Our eyes look to you, O God, until you show us your mercy. To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens.
As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to you, O Lord, our God, until you show us your mercy. Our eyes look to you, O God, until you show us your mercy.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy, for we have had more than enough of this contempt.
You do much of the scorn of the indolent rich and of the derision of the proud.
Our eyes look to you, O God, until you show us your mercy. Please rise for the reading of today's gospel.
The Holy Gospel for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is found in the sixth chapter of St. Mark. At home and abroad, Jesus and his disciples encounter resistance as they seek to proclaim God's word and relieve affliction. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went out about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, 'Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them.' So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn. Sing the first and last verse of "This Is My Song," 887.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Independence Day, 4th of July. Think back to past 4th of July events. Jack, you were telling me you've been in parades down here at the Glen. Any of you get to the Glen Parade yesterday? The church put a float together, and of course they stuck me in there. I wasn't too keen on it, but being the pastor, you'll sacrifice anything for your people. So went there. I was amazed from the beginning of the parade to the end. There were people the whole way. I just thought they were at the corner. You know, maybe 400 or 500 people at the corner. I'll bet you there were 10 or 20 times the people on that whole route. Ride the parade sometime. I think I'd do it again. It was more fun than I imagined. Think back to past 4th of July's, though. The nostalgia, the memories. Some really great times, and sometimes when you didn't really behave yourself. Valerie? Independence Day, Freedom Day, July 4th, 1776. Some historians call it the miracle at Philadelphia when those 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. They declared freedom from British rule. Taxation without representation was what our 8th grade civics teacher taught us. We don't have to pay taxes without representation. And so the movement began, the fight began, and freedom was given from the evil empire, and we didn't have to bow to King George V again. As we think about freedom, this business of freedom, I'm wondering if we don't take our freedoms for granted. Bill of Rights tells us that we have freedom of speech. I mean, I think of our friend, the guy with the wavy hair, running for president. What's his name? Trump. We've got freedom to speak whatever we want. You couldn't do that in some countries. We gather on a Sunday morning to worship whoever we want, however we want, whether it be Sunday morning or whenever. We are free to follow our own theology, and that's a good thing, I think. We're free to assemble. In the court case today, the ones that marched the Mall of America, their trial is coming up this week. We can assemble, but you might have to pay the price for misbehavior or whatever. We can carry our arms. Take a look at the Minneapolis paper today. There's a big article about why it's important to be able to carry your arms, my arms, but I hate the NRA. I haven't read it. I just saw the title. We can speak. We can give our opinion. We can carry arms. We can worship however we want. And then we in this country have it made. We who live here on this lake, we live where people come to vacation. We have vacation every day. Have you seen the sunsets? The moon, the last few nights? Fires up in British Columbia are blowing their dust our way, and the moon and the sun has been red, nice, different, new. We've got water all around us. We take it for granted. Think about the people down in Arizona and California. They're going to be hurting in a few more years. We've got health care in Minnesota. A woman that was visiting their son down on Highway 18. They had just moved here. They were from New York City. Woman fell and broke her wrist. She pushed to get on the plane and fly back to New York to her good doctor. They thought there were a bunch of hillbilly doctors here. And they finally insisted, no, you're going to our doctor. And she couldn't believe the care and the love and the service immediately that they got up at Aiken Hospital. We take our health care for granted. Education. If a kid reads and puts a little effort into studying and learning, if parents take some time with the kids, they can go to any university in the land. I don't know if we appreciate how good of an education we have. And our social services. Someone falls through the cracks, they're taken care of. You go to other countries, there's no such thing as welfare. There's no such thing as food shelves. There's no such thing as heating assistance. I mean, and on and on and on. Your kids get in trouble, we have people to help programs. Your families get in trouble. We've got social services. You travel around the world, and you probably won't find what we have to offer, except in some of the Scandinavian countries, right, Barb? Swedish roots? Happiest people in the world. And the Finns, oh, then there's the happy Danes and the sad Danes. Up that part of the world, they know what they're talking about, but that's our heritage, most of us. I mean, why were you born from Scandinavians, you know? Anybody here not Scandinavian? My condolences. Point is, we have a lot to celebrate when we think about our freedoms. But you know what? I think about those early pioneers, those early revolutionary people. And anytime something good comes, we tend to goof it up. We let our selfishness get in the way. We let our greed get in the way. We let our brokenness, sinfulness get in the way of doing what it is right and what is good. And I think about our First Nation people, our indigenous people, how you read stories of how we destroyed villages and put those tribes on reservations and took their lands, and it wasn't the best story in our history. Or you read about the Amistad, July 2nd, Amistad was a slave ship. Children taken from their land in Africa, and adults, Amistad, they revolted, mutinied, and took the ship over. But there's just horror stories about how we got into the slave trade. I think of the Chinese coming to the West Coast, building the Transcontinental Railroad, cheap, cheap, cheap labor, and the mistreatment that we took. We paid those folks. And now even, the way we treat our neighbors south of the border. I mean, they come in and do jobs that we refuse to do, we don't want to do anymore. And they're just so thankful to have jobs. And have a little paycheck and have food on the table. And I could go on, and you all know this, but the point is, we live in a broken world, and sometimes we take our freedom, and it's not really clean living, it's not really good living, and there's mistreatment of fellow human beings. Remember our Sunday school song, you all know it, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are tender in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world, and we don't do such a good job. I read recently about the same situation in Australia. They had their Freedom Day as well, although they still honor the Queen. But in 1998, they passed legislation that set aside one day. They had their Freedom Day, like 4th of July, but they set one day aside as National Sorry Day, where they make an attempt to say, I'm sorry to the indigenous Aboriginal people. And it started conversations about how we treat each other and how we live together. And the thought went through my mind that maybe one day that's what we should be thinking about. I could be wrong, but it's something to think about, and maybe would make us a little bit more sensitive to the color of another's skin and the heritages of another's life. This Freedom Day, where do we find true freedom? Our lesson today, that says that in Jesus we are a new creation. I have a feeling that true freedom will come from understanding who God is and how His Spirit has moved. And if you want to know what true freedom is, you look at the person of Jesus and listen to the things that He taught. And I think we'll find true freedom to be who God created us to be, with the better attributes displayed if we live in the presence of Jesus and immerse ourselves in the teaching of Jesus. Jesus says, just a conversation with His disciples, if you want to know how to live, if you want to find a little peace in your heart and joy in your soul, I'll show you the way. He says, I'm the way. And then He says, I'm the truth and the life. And then Philip says, how do we know the way, Lord? And Jesus says, you've lived with me all this time. You've seen the miracles. You've heard the teachings. You've been involved. You've seen healings and hope and joy and love and peace and patience. And you still don't get it? I guess that's the way I am sometimes. And I forget that it's in Jesus we might find real freedom. And the real freedom is going to come one day. We catch a glimpse of it here. We catch glimpses of heaven here, of freedom here. Last night when they were playing Stairway to Heaven, I just lost it for a moment and I was in heaven. I was in heaven. That was my song last night. I got a glimpse of a world without trouble, but I started imagining a world without sickness, where no one gets the flu, where no one gets cancer, where no one gets AIDS. And I imagined a place in the Bible where it said there's no going to be any more hunger, no war, no poverty, no greed, no injustice. And more than that, the scriptures say, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more loneliness and no more broken hearts, and death will be no more. Won't that be the true freedom? And mourning and crying and pain will be no more, and no more car accidents and late night phone calls, and no child will ever have to bury his or her parents, and no parent will ever have to bury his or her child. This is what Paul calls the glory to be revealed. That's the freedom that's going to be revealed to you and I one day, and I can't wait for it. It's not just a world where suffering can be avoided or minimized, but Paul says creation itself will be set free from bondage to decay. This very universe that we live in will be transformed, and things will be the way they should be. That's where we're going to experience freedom, and I can't wait. Near the end of the book of the Revelation, the promise is that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth have passed away. That's going to be freedom. That's the promise. But it seems like we should be working toward that now and doing more of that today. And as we work and sacrifice and follow Jesus, who said the first shall be last and the last first in the kingdom, the greatest of all is servant of all, who said don't claim your rights, love, sacrifice, said all those things. Seems like if we follow that, that's where we're going to find freedom. Anyway, some thoughts on 4th of July, Freedom Day, celebration of freedom. Kind of a heavy kind of a thing I gave today. Don't you feel crummy now? Sorry. Really, I am. But that's where the Spirit led me. And don't take your freedom for granted. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This morning, our usher, Judy, says, there's such a small crowd. If you folks would like to make an offering, there's going to be a plate afterwards. But we're going to jump right over to the prayers of intercession. I'd invite you to please rise. Gathered by the Holy Spirit and fed by the Word, we come together as the people of God to pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Gracious God, we pray for the church throughout the world, that you guide it in all its endeavors and inspire it to proclaim the gospel with boldness. Hear us, O God. We pray for earth and sky, seas and deserts, plant and animal habitats, that your good creation thrive and flourish. Hear us, O God. We pray for leaders eager to show mercy, that your justice spreads to all nations, and that all may celebrate freedom from oppression. Hear us, O God. We pray for those who live with chronic pain or disease that leaves no outward sign. We pray for those who grieve, and for all those who are sick or hospitalized. We especially remember in our prayers our loved ones, our friends, our church members. Lay your healing hand on those who need your special touch, Lord. Hear us, O God. We pray for this assembly, for those who are visiting, those who are traveling, those who cannot be with us today, that all experience Christ's presence and peace. Hear us, O God. We thank you for this country in which we live, Heavenly Father. Help us to not take our freedom for granted. We thank you for family and friends. We thank you for this congregation of believers. Allow us to keep our eyes always on you. Remind us that the evil one has his eyes on us. So keep us strong and allow us to immerse ourselves in your Son's teachings. Lord, if you could watch over our loved ones this day and this week, smile upon them and keep them in your loving care. We remember with gratitude the saints who endured persecutions for the sake of Christ. Uphold us also with your all-sufficient grace until we join them at the heavenly banquet. Hear us, O God. To your hands, loving God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the grace of our Jesus our Savior. Amen. So we gather at the Lord's table. We are ever mindful of his presence in our lives. Jesus was very, very, very astute. At his Last Supper, gathered with family and friends at the Passover, remember, the angel of death passed over the people of Israel to give them their freedom from slavery. They had been doing this for over 1,200 years. At Jesus' Last Supper, he said, "I am the sacrificial lamb. My body and my blood is shed for you. My body and my blood is on the doorposts of your heart. I am giving you a new gift for freedom, a new covenant." And so at that Last Supper, Passover supper, he took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, the new promise. My blood is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sins, for new beginnings, for starts over. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so again, all are invited to the table of our Lord. morning we will use intinction, so we'll hand you the bread, dip it in the wine or the grape juice. If you eat it, you've got to have another one, okay? Don't dip it in the... It happens, sorry. We'll start with this side and conclude with this side. Please, table is set. Come all, eat and drink. Please be seated. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Please join me in prayer. We thank you for this gift of life, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the freedom that has been won for us through the death and resurrection of your Son. Help us to experience this freedom always, and to know that we are yours. We have been purchased by the price of your Son's death. We thank you for his resurrection, and we pray that we might rise now with him. We might enjoy the blessings of your love and your presence always. Walk with us now as we go. Fill us with joy and peace, and remind us again and again and again that we are free in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you this day and forevermore.
Amen.
Go in peace, live in love as Christ has loved us.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is, O Beautiful for Spacious Skies. Let's sing the first and last verse.